All right, let's get started this morning. Ezekiel 18, 1 through 4 is going to be our main passage. Anthony, if you'll get that for us. Ezekiel 18, 1 through 4. And then if I can get Psalms 139, 23 through 24. David Cutter, why don't you get that? Luke 15, 21. Brian Mitchell, if you'll get that. And then Proverbs 29 and 11. Aaron, if you'll get that for us. Proverbs 29, 11. One of the great hindrances that I've observed to men and their calling, their fruitfulness, their marriage, their job, etc., in life, the issue is blame shifting. This instinctive response from some men, it's very natural immediately. Any kind of opposition, correction, setback, their instinctive response is to shift the blame. I'm telling you, this will hinder you. And in the passage we're going to look at this morning, God speaks to his prophet that blame shifting must stop in you if you are going to reach your full potential. So let's look at Ezekiel 18, verses 1 through 4.
Then another message came to me from the Lord. Why do you quote this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at the taste. Assuredly as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you will not quote this proverb anymore in Israel. For all people are mine to judge, both parents and children alike. And this is my rule. The person who sins is the one who will die.
Okay, blame shifters. Let's talk firstly about this issue of blame shifting. In our passage, God is confronting a mindset, is what this is. It's a life perspective. For some, it's a principle they live by. And so God challenges it. Verse 2, what do you mean when you use this proverb? God is directly coming against it. This is the idea that what I do is not my fault. I do what I do because someone else did. That's blame shifting. But God is not interested or into this life perspective. Verse 3 in our passage, as I live, says the Lord, you shall no longer use this proverb. See, this actually is not reality. To some people, they think and they approach life that everything wrong in life is because of someone else. Everything negative in their life is because of someone else. Every addiction that they deal with is because someone else did something to create or cause that. Every bad habit is the result of someone else. What they did, or what they said, or what they didn't do. You know, what they didn't say, that caused me to. That is blame shifting. So how do we identify this in life? First of all, psychology says a blame shifter has a difficult time taking responsibility for their problems. They go as far as necessary to attribute blame for their circumstances to anyone else, even if it may sound somewhat conspiratorial. Right? You ever had someone, it's like, they go to great lengths to tell you why they've done what they've done, or why they do what they do, and it's like, the world is against me. It's because my circumstances, it's because this happened in life, and it's a stretch. Another definition, a blame shifter goes to great lengths to evade any kind of responsibility. It's never their fault to a blame shifter. It's never, they never take responsibility. They're always trying to maneuver and find a way to blame someone else. Blame shifters say things like, well, if you wouldn't have said, then I wouldn't have called you. If you wouldn't have said this, then I wouldn't have called you that. See, it's your fault that you made me talk that way. You know what? If you weren't always nagging me, then I wouldn't have cheated on you. or for some men, then I wouldn't have looked at porn. If you weren't always like, then I wouldn't have. You know what? If it wasn't so strict, then I wouldn't want to do this. No, that's blame shifting. That is you're putting it on someone else. God speaks to Ezekiel, you need to talk to the people of Israel. This life approach, this worldview is unacceptable. And it's dangerous. This is a dangerous mindset. It is a deceptive life approach. And I'm telling you, it will hurt your salvation, your relationship with God. It will hurt your marriage, your relationship with your wife. It's going to impact your work. It's going to hinder your ministry, your calling. It's going to block fruitfulness. This is, God is dealing with this. As I live, verse 3, you shall no longer use this proverb. So let's think secondly about the cost of blame shifting. God speaks to his people because this life approach is going to cost you. Verse 4, God says, the soul who sins shall die. In other words, you are responsible for you. No doubt, there's balance in this. We've heard about inherited curses, generational curses, those things that can be passed down. But think about, how does that get passed down? You open doors. You make decisions. You allow things in. So God says, the soul who sins shall die. In other words, you are responsible for your actions. You are responsible for your decisions, the choices you have made. In other words, God says this is not an acceptable reason for sin. I'm this way because my parents. God says, that's not going to cut it. When you get to eternity, I wouldn't have been this way if my parents wouldn't have been. It's just not going to cut it. It's not an acceptable reason for carnality. It's not an acceptable reason for wrongdoing, for marital conflict. I sit with couples, I deal with situations, and oftentimes, I'm this way because they are. No, usually you're this way because you're just a jerk. Right, but if we want to blame shift, relational conflict, it's not an acceptable reason. It's not an acceptable reason for drama in life, because you are responsible for you, and it's going to cost you. Number one, to blame shift will eventually begin to cost you credibility. Credibility. You know, people don't appreciate working with a blame shifter. I've never met someone that's like, man, I just love working with them. They blame me for everything. It's always my fault. Right? They don't appreciate that. No one likes living with a blame shifter. Hurts your credibility in marriage. No one likes serving with a blame shifter. Because in this, you will begin, once it's discovered that this is at work in you, you begin to lose credibility with the people around you. King Ahab, think about this. Here he is, Jehoshaphat is going to go to war alongside him. Jehoshaphat wants to know, man, is this even what we should do? And King Ahab's like, yeah, all the prophets have said, God is with us, God's into this. And Jehoshaphat says, I'm not convinced. Who else can we ask? And Ahab says, well, there is a prophet by the name of Micaiah, but I hate him. Why? Because he never tells me what I want to hear. In other words, we could ask Micaiah, right? But shifting blame, it has nothing to do with Ahab and his sin. It has nothing to do with Ahab and his pride. It has nothing to do with Ahab and his lack of decision-making as a leader. No, it's Micaiah. If Micaiah speaks, it's going to be his fault that we don't do this. And Jehoshaphat says, yeah, I see right through that. Bring Micaiah in. Right? Because here in this, you will lose credibility. If you constantly are shifting the blame on other people, you constantly shift the blame on your wife, on your pastor, on God, you will begin to lose credibility with people around you. Secondly, blame shifting will cost you dominion. When Adam and Eve sinned, right, and God comes down to meet with Adam, where are you? Why were you hiding? He's asking him questions. Did you eat of the fruit? You know what? It was the wife you gave me, God. Never mind that Adam was there watching the whole thing. Never mind that God gave Adam specific direction. Never mind that God dealt with Adam about what he was supposed to do, how he was supposed to tend and keep the garden, but it couldn't have been his fault. It was the wife that you gave me. And you know what? That cost dominion. It was lost in that moment. And so here, blame shifting does not work. Next, it will cost you ministry. If you cannot learn to take responsibility, gentlemen, you will not be able to be used by God. That is not a leadership quality. Blame shifting. Nobody wants to follow a blame shifter. And so think about this. We can look at Saul's life. God spoke to King Saul, gave him specific directions as he goes to battle. And God says through the prophet Samuel, kill everything. Get rid of everything. Nothing needs to live. And what does Saul do? He, you know, keeps the livestock. Samuel comes and in this, what is this, you know, bleeding of goats as he can hear them? And what is all of this that you disobeyed God? And what does he do? It's the people. It's God. Doesn't God like sacrifice? I'm just doing this for Jesus, man. I don't know why you're getting upset. And Sarah said, no, you're on your own page. Don't blame the people. Don't blame God. You made this decision. And Samuel says, God's chosen another. And as he turns, Saul literally rips his garment in fear and frustration and rage. And what does Samuel say? Just as you've ripped my cloak, God has ripped this kingdom from you. Why? Blame shifting. It will cost you, finally, it will cost you an eternity. In our passage, God says very clearly, you know, it's not imagery, it's not poetic. He says, the soul who sins shall die. Sin costs. Sin costs, and it costs in eternity. This is not a healthy life approach. This is not a leadership life approach. This is not compatible with ministry. This is not going to help your marriage. It's not going to help your employment. It's not going to help you in life. You must learn, as we're going to look now, how to reject this issue of blame shifting. So let's close. Let's talk about rejecting blame shifting. So this is something that if you are going to do a work for God, you must deal with it. If you are going to reach greater ministry, you must deal with this. If you're going to have greater fruitfulness in life, if you're going to have blessed relationships, you must deal with blame shifting. So number one, how do we do this? Number one, you have to identify it. Where do you in life tend to shift blame? For some, it's work. I pastored someone in one of the churches I pastored, and I think in the span of a couple years, they literally worked 6 different jobs. Why? The boss, the schedule, people, the pay. Like, every time they started this new job, it was like the greatest thing. Oh, this is gonna be incredible. This is gonna be wonderful. But you know what really the issue was? Is they had conflict with people. Everywhere they went, in their family, in their job, in the church, right? And so here, what do? They just blame shift. Well, it's the people, it's the boss. They're against me, they're the Antichrist. It's, you know, all fill in the blank. Some people, it's on their job. This is where this manifests. And you cannot separate your job from your calling. Your job equips you for your calling. How you approach that. For others, it's in marriage. It's very easy for you to blame your wife. For others, it's your family. You blame your family. You blame your children. Find that area. Where is it? For others, it's in the arena of addiction. Unable to break through because you're constantly blaming other people for it. You will not be able to find deliverance until you surrender and take responsibility. Ministry. Some men, they blame in ministry. Oh, it didn't work because so-and-so. Oh, it didn't work because this and that. And all these different things. Identify where you tend to shift blame. You have to hear the language of it. So, if you're blind to it, I believe right now by the Spirit of God, He's dealing with people in areas. But if you are unaware, ask God. God will help you. Right? He's speaking to Ezekiel in our passage to speak to the people of Israel. He wants this result. Ask God. Psalms 139, 23 through 24.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting.
All right. See if there is any wicked way in me. Examine my life. God, look at my heart and point out the areas. That can be an intense prayer at first. There was times when, I remember as a new disciple, man, I'm thinking I'm hitting hot licks and I've got this figured out and God searched me. And then He did. And I'm like, okay, all right, well, let's pump the brakes a little here. There's a lot in there I didn't know was in there. But He'll show you. God wants to help you guys. God wants you delivered. God wants you blessed. God wants your marriage to be the best relationship you can have in life. God wants you, your ministry to be fruitful. Right? So in this, He wants to help us. So identify, if you can't, ask God. He'll help you. So you can address it and deal with it. Secondly, then, if we're going to reject and be free from this, you must repent of it. Verse 3 in our passage, God says, you shall no longer use this proverb. In other words, you need to turn away from this mindset. You need to turn away from this life approach and take responsibility for your actions. Take responsibility for your sin, your wrongs, your trespasses, your iniquities. Repent of it. Luke 15 and verse 21.
And the Son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.
Okay, this is what repentance looks like. God is giving a story, a parable. Jesus, God in human form. The story of a prodigal son, one who goes off, lives for himself, squanders his inheritance, winds up at the lowest of lows, eating with the pigs, and in this gets a moment of revelation. A moment of clarity, and says, I will go home to my father and I will say, I have sinned. I did this. Right? Not, why did you ever give me that money? Why did you ever let me leave God? It's not what he said. No, I made choices. And I'm taking responsibility. And when he goes, the son said to him, he followed through on it, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I take responsibility. That is what repentance looks like. Repentance isn't, God, I'm sorry for the way everyone has made me live. God, I'm sorry for the way, look at what everyone has made me do in life. No, I made choices and I turn away from them. Repentance is key. Do this thirdly then. Is you're going to have to learn in life sometimes how to take an L. Sometimes you're going to have to learn how to lose, even when it's not your fault. This is very difficult for many people. There have been times in my life, there have been times in my ministry where I took the loss, where I took the blame. And I'm going to tell you, there were times, I'm not saying you're a doormat, I'm not saying it's my fault. You know what, my bad, my fault. It's not what I'm talking about. But there are times in life, there are tests in life where you can go to war if you want, and you might have the right. It might be one of those 60-40 moments, you know, it's more their fault than yours. But can you learn how to take the loss? Can you learn how to not shift the blame? That's what it's really about. And there were times, I can tell you, it was healthy for me to do that. Where I said, you know what? I am going to go higher on this. I'm gonna be the better man in this. I'm telling you, if this is something you can learn to do, it will help you. I have seen men in ministry. This blame shifting carries in, and you see it manifest in their church. It is painful. So can you take the loss sometimes? Can you sometimes say, you know, I'm just gonna let that go. I'll take some responsibility on my parts, my wrongs in this, but I'm not gonna shift blame. I'm not gonna run them through the mud. I'm not going to build an alliance against them. I'm going to take the loss. I'm telling you, that is healthy in life. Proverbs 29:11.
A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back.
A fool vents all his feelings. Another translation gives full vent to his spirit. You can do that. Let it all. You know what? But they did, but they said, but they didn't, and they. You can do that. But maybe I'm going to hold back quietly. I'm going to guard my heart. I'm going to forgive them. And I'm going to take responsibility for my part. That's healthy. That's leadership. That is going to give you greater ministry. Guys, this is something I'm telling you, if you can learn, apply this principle, you will see accelerated growth quickly. All right, let's open it up for some questions.
I'll go first.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you say taking the loss, and you mentioned 60-40, if you had nothing to do with it, would you still do that just for practice? Or are you saying like if you can see that you had some part to play in it, I'm just going to, you know, take this as my responsibility? I guess I don't know when that applies.
Yeah, it's. I think, yeah, exactly that. Whether it's 60-40, whether it's 20-80, right? I'm going to take responsibility for my part, whatever that is. Now, the difficulty, Matt, is many times we don't view it that way. with you 0-100. But I don't. Why would I apologize? Why would I literally dealt with a man one time, and I said, you know, you should just apologize for for what you've done. But what did I do? And at first I thought they were joking, because they really viewed it like, yeah, but what did I do? Okay, now you're ticking me off, because this is what you did.
Yeah.
And you're not seeing it. So taking responsibility for your part, whether you're less wrong or not. Right? Yeah, definitely.
So, and sometimes, you know, what is explanation, for example, responding, you know, my text last night, was that, you know, is that like saying, like, is that a blame shifting a little bit as well? Or is that just saying, oh yeah, these are the details, I agree with that? Is that...
Yeah, I'm not following exactly, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was, you know, just kind of like think that through, and I'm like, is that a way of doing that, or is that...
Sure. Yeah, I don't remember, so...
Okay. All right.
clearly not then, right? Okay. So, yeah, Skyler?
I was wondering, you said how it's wise for man to hold in his feelings in a situation, and those feelings are extremely depending on the situation, would be good to express them in an appropriate manner?
Sometimes, yeah, you know, I've heard, for example, the story of Abraham Lincoln. He would write down letters to his enemies and never send them. Sometimes he's just getting them out. But what he's able to do is keep his peace, or, you know, quietly hold back. So sometimes, yeah, that's possible. Just don't hit send. So, but yeah, it's possible. But then ultimately, Skyler, right? That's why we have a relationship with God. Because we can give it to God, right? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. God, you know what? You be the judge of this. I'll do my part to forgive. I'll do my part to move forward, whatever that looks like. But I'm letting you be the judge of this. God can help you fight it through.
In terms of, like, your inner knowledge, the acceptance of the situation, and that God be
the... Yeah, absolutely. And again, is that, you know, the thing, guys, with so many things in life is... This is one, you know, piece and application. So obviously it would depend on the situation. That doesn't mean you never deal with anything, right? But there, what I'm dealing with is if you are blame shifting in those, that's when you need to address it this way. Yeah.
I think this kind of is what Matt was getting, but it's a question that I have as well, is trying to give an honest assessment of the situation, meaning an explanation to somebody, is that the same as blame shifting? Or, you know, even if you're trying to say, like, hey, listen, I can see where this might have come off wrong, but here's where I was coming from.
Sure.
Is that blame shifting, or are you just trying to resolve?
Yeah, I mean, again, it depends, right? So you got to know your heart in it.
Sure.
And in it, if you are, you've got to know your goals, mm-hmm, in life. Some people, their goal is to win.
Yeah.
So in it, well, let me explain why I did that. You want to explain because you want to win.
Right.
You don't want to explain to resolve. You want to make sure they know how stupid they are. That's the goal in it, right? Versus explanation might be valid because, yes, you want to resolve. I apologize that offended you. I did not mean to offend you. Where I was coming from was, but if that offended, I apologize, right? Even if it's a little bit ridiculous,
yeah.
You are conscious and aware of them, and you are not sure, well, I'm sorry that offended you. I mean, maybe if you weren't such a, you know, such a weak person,
yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
Again, it sounds funny, but that is how people deal with
it. Not apology.
Often. Yeah, so in it is, explanation might be valid, but then on the other hand, and I can't give you a formula, it may not be necessary.
Well, the reason why I ask, I was in a situation recently where somebody misinterpreted something I said on a job site, and now we're having this email correspondence, and my initial email was very scathing, like, you're ridiculous. This is clearly not what I meant.
Sure.
You know? And then I took a second, and I was like, that's not going to... I want to maintain this relationship.
Right.
I want to get this deal.
Yeah.
You know? And so I breathed for a second. Obviously, I was very... Yeah. Annoyed at first, and then I said, I could see how this was interpreted this way.
Okay.
And it worked out, but
sure.
I gave an explanation. I wasn't trying to, like,
Yeah. You know. So in that, right, initially emotion, if you would have let it full vent,
it wouldn't have worked out.
Exactly. So that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yep. So giving an explanation is not.
It's not necessarily
inherently
correct. Again, but whatever your goal is, okay. That's the point. Yep. Eli.
I've heard in books and things, people advocate the mentality of taking responsibility for things, even things that I think the average person would look at and say, that's not really my fault or my problem. What do you think about that sort of mindset?
Yeah, again, it just depends, Eli, you know? It really just depends. Again, there are times, like I said, there have been times in my life and in my ministry where I took the blame because that's what I needed to do, right? That's when you have, that's why we have a relationship with God, because he's dealing with you. And everything in me was like, but why? But that was God dealing with me. Other times there were, no, absolutely not. This is unacceptable, right? So there's that discernment thing, that wisdom thing that we need to have. Yeah, sometimes. Absolutely. Absolutely. But again, I want to highlight is because a blame shifter takes only the side they want, right? So that's why I want to say in blame shifting, if that is your goal, no, it's their fault because I have nothing. If that's the area, you must deal with that. Yep. Good. Good, good. Yeah, Devin.
You may have mentioned it, I may have missed it, but would you say that the main root cause is pride, and are there any other root causes that a blame shifter would have?
Yeah, pride would be first and foremost, Devin, absolutely. Because pride is the biggest blinder to blame shifting, right? Pride is an incredible thing. You can totally miss, that's what I said in Matt's question, dealt with a guy, and I just, you know, I encouraged him, you know, it would be helpful for you to apologize. Why? That means I would humble myself. Exactly, right? But they can't see it. The second would be fear. Some people fear, they blame shift because they're afraid of what they will lose, right? What do I lose by acknowledging my wrong? What do I lose by acknowledging my error? And that freaks people out. No, now then they're going to walk all over me. No, they'll actually respect you more, right? But fear can be a cause to that as well. And then, you know, of course, just insecurity. There are some men, they are very insecure in life in general. And so in that insecurity, they're constantly trying to blame shift, because somehow it gives them a sense of security. So, yeah, it could be numbers of reasons, but pride would definitely be the biggest. Yep, our ego. Good. Yeah, Alan?
Yes, so I was just thinking, so if we see the situation through the lens of the Word of God, will that help us make a better decision then?
Yeah.
I know I don't do that the first time, but I think that changes everything.
Absolutely, yeah. When we view life, you know, that, and that is the point, right? Is, you know, as men, you're pursuing calling, you're pursuing ministry. So, what does the Bible say? What is the correct response? And we see a lot of different responses in the Word of God. But when it comes to this issue of shifting blame, as our text reveals to us, God's not interested in that, right? And all throughout the Bible, genuine repentance is taking personal responsibility. We see that all throughout the Word of God. So when it comes to whether that's conflict, and it doesn't have to just be conflict. Sometimes blame shifters, it's a form of manipulation.
Yeah.
You want to manipulate people. And really, that's witchcraft. You want to exercise your will over them. You do that by any means possible. So this is absolutely unacceptable. So yeah, viewing life situations through God's word. Hand over.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering if you have ever noticed that church culture has been infiltrated by this spirit of blame shifting. And if so, like if you took over a church, what do you do to try to weed this out?
Blame the devil. No. yeah, I can't say that I've seen it like in a culture of a church, but I have seen it in individuals, you know, in disciples, you know, men that want to do something, or sometimes even in pastors. I've observed it, and it hinders them in life.
Is it something that people have to figure it out on their own, or is it ever something you confront? Obviously, with your children, you would.
Sure.
But when you recognize clear blame shifting, do you just note it, or do you?
Well, yeah. For me, initially, yes, I'll note it, and then, of course, in a disciple-pastor relationship, they open their life to you, and then you might encounter an outreach or a situation, and. You know, help me understand, and you begin to ask questions, and then you hear the narrative. But in that, they're open,
yeah.
And so I have been able to, in a process of time through discipleship, say, no, this is your blame shifting here. Don't tell me
from a pastor's position.
Sure, that would be from a pastoral perspective, you know, etc. But again, in relationships, friends, obviously, is in time you'll gain some. Influence to be able to speak into their life. But I don't just go around blame shifter. You know what your problem is, and you know what your problem is? No, that's counterproductive. So yeah.
So I struggle with this a lot. And it's very profound too. But if I'm trying to get to the point to where I'm trying to give it to God, let's say I vent out a lot. Like I talk about my issues and sometimes, you know, it's not worth doing. If I keep it in and give it to God, I don't want to say like, oh, I'm going to give it to God and blame him in a
sure.
sense. But that's like really hard to do because I'm not going to. Am I avoiding taking responsibility by not talking about it, by not bringing it up, by going, oh, I'm going to hide from it and give it to God and He's going to take care of it? Is that that's so hard to do? That's a weird conception for me to grasp because it's like. The opposite of taking responsibility. You know what I mean? And that's something I struggle with every day.
Sure. But in taking responsibility, you can take responsibility with God.
Right. So
right?
It's because you can't. So if I'm giving it to Him, I can't manipulate God.
Right.
Right. So I'm in a sense, there's no way I can manipulate Him. So I'm going to give it to Him to take care of it through His. How He acts in the world.
Sure.
Right. Or whatever. I don't know the right word
yeah,
to say.
Yeah.
And then. It'll take care of itself, and I just need to be right in that sense and change my direction of thinking.
Yeah, keep your heart right,
right.
Definitely. But, you know, Trevor is, you know, look at Job's life and look at the Psalms. They vent to God. You read that, you know? God, I don't understand. Sometimes, you know, was it Psalms? He writes, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? You know, like he's venting to God, but then you see a transition. While he vents, he then says, but you are faithful. But you are good. But you are loving. You're going to help me. I'm confident. And we see that through Job's life. We see that in the Psalms, etc. And then I take responsibility,
yeah.
right, for my part,
yeah.
for my actions, etc. Yeah?
Yeah. The way I used to operate is, and if you don't want to talk, I'm sorry. but the way I used to operate is I would, kind of like a yes man. You ever seen the movie Yes Man? Oh yeah. Take blame or try to please everybody around you.
Sure.
And when you get mixed up with drugs, it's more or less like, you know, you forget about that and you want to help everybody out and then you don't have anything and you can't help yourself. Then no one wants to deal with you because you don't
sure.
have anything left to help them out.
Yeah.
You know, so then you feel worthless and then you start going to other things and then you start, you know, blaming God and all
yeah.
that. But I just don't want to run
yeah,
from it.
Absolutely.
But by keeping it in, which is completely against me,
sure.
right, I feel like I'm hiding from it.
Sure.
And I don't want to hide anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. But again, you know, when you give it to God, when you talk about it, or if you talk about it, you know, with you know, David or a pastor, etc., is what you're doing is you're getting it out, but I want help. I want this healed. I want this fixed. That's the goal.
But so, am I a fool?
A fool?
A fool?
No.
Because the wise man and the fool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But is it wiser to be the fool in some situations?
Sure.
Like we're saying, to take responsibility, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man can't get fooled again.
So with that though, is it, am I a fool? No. Why do I say that? Because the beginning of wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord.
Right.
You gave your life to Jesus. Okay. You're not a fool. You recognized your need. Absolutely. Yeah, Daniel.
So do you know certain language and traits in your life that will be something you help with, besides being, you know, example of not shifting blame yourself and your career? Is there anything else that you recommend?
Yeah, you know, is, you know, you every couple, and I'd say this to husbands, you know, you must learn how to speak to your wife. Some guys, you know, it's like, they do it so wrong, you know. I've sat in counseling and I'm like, just stop talking. You're burying yourself. You're not even seeing it. So you got to learn how to speak to your wife. And you know, if there are things, etc., you know, you must learn how to communicate that in a way that it's received. And that's why the Bible says, dwell with your wives with understanding. That word understanding literally means a science. Your wife is a science. And some days how you speak works, and some days how you speak, it didn't work that time. So you gotta work that out. But if there are damaging areas, you know, it is one of those things that how you lead matters for when you need to speak into her life, right? If you lead, maybe not you're not a blame shifter, but you're arrogant or you're prideful or, you know, whatever that looks like, and then you try to speak into their life, it's not going to work. It's not going to be received. You have to lead loving so that when there are those times, you're able to speak into their life. So, yep. Your wife knows you the best, right? Sometimes you try to point something out, well, she knows everything about you. So you have to lead with love. Yep. Yep. Trevor?
So I have a question, because it was, so I had a situation one time. It was like a friend of mine, and he like went through something with another friend, and he could have like completely blame shifted or whatever and been so mad at this other friend. But he like wasn't, and I felt like he should have been more, but I didn't want to be like, well, you gotta like hate him, like be a jerk, forget about him, never talk to him. But what is like the right time to be like, to know when to say, well, yes, you need to be more mad, or like not stir up strife or whatever? How would you?
Sure. Well, again, be more mad, but you know, you say it well, Trevor, is you should be mad at him, hate him, and form an alliance against him. That's the natural response. That's a human response. But in it, what does the Bible tell us, right? To dwell with one another with patience and understanding. Let no root of bitterness spring up in you, etc. Be angry and do not sin. Anger does not produce the righteousness of God. All of that is scripture. So it's telling us something completely different. So in that, how do you know when? Well, when it's sin. Right? Again, it doesn't mean you never judge or deal with sin. That's a whole separate issue. But when it comes to, you know, relational problem solving or working out difficult situations, you have to know the end goal.
Yeah.
And that's really, you have to be able to see the bigger picture. See, actually, blame shifters are very small-minded. They only see the moment, they only see the issue, and they only look at self-preservation. How do I preserve me? No, that's incorrect. You gotta look bigger. What is my response gonna look like 2 years down the road? 5 years down the road, right? You have to see big picture long term.
Yes.
So,
you know,
the goal of a most relationship is to passion, or to be the people.
Yeah.
If this isn't dealt with here, how can that play out? I'm thinking about Moses beating the rock, if he was frustrated and bringing the people.
Sure.
How does that play out? How can it play out? Preaching, leading?
Yeah. Yeah, well, number one is, you know, the lack of results. You find someone to blame, something to blame, right? And that's many times, you know, the biggest there. Well, you know, it's this city, it's this people, it's this church. You know, they just don't want to be serious. It's like, maybe it's you, right? And because sometimes you see another guy come in and revival takes off, right? So it's that, number one. Number two is in a blame-shifting pastor is a reactive preacher. So, you know, there's, oh, it's gossip. I got to preach on gossip. Oh, they're in a conflict. I got to preach on conflict. Oh, this. And you're just reactive in everything you do because that's the blame. That's the blame. That's the blame. They're, this person, that situation, this circumstance, etc. So you become very reactive in your ministry versus hearing from God, right? And so in that is, those are the two probably main ways I can think of that would, that it will play off. And that's, and that hinders you, right? That hinders you. So, very good. Yeah, let's get to Daniel. Yeah.
Okay, so in blame shifting, say there's a situation, so like taking responsibility, like the 20, 80, 60, 40 thing. Okay. So at what point do the consequences of taking that outweigh, like, I'm just gonna take responsibility? So is there like say you're gonna take the consequences or whatever, but like at what point is it like, okay, that's, you need to, like, I'm not taking that because that's way too much.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. And there are times, you know, it's, I have told people, I refuse to own that. I'm not gonna own that. But again, that's the discernment thing, Daniel. Because the problem is with a blame shifter, they'll always take that route, right? No, I'm not gonna own that. But that's why you're stuck. That's why you haven't changed in 5 years. That's why you have a trail of bodies behind you, you know, but they refuse to see that. So yeah, I'm dealing with a very specific area. So before we close, guys, I just want to pray. Obviously this is something that you know, God wants to help us with, and I'm telling you this, you need to ask, we're going to ask God for wisdom in this, okay? And I think this is one of the biggest areas I've seen in men and the development of men. When it comes to relationships, we have a very independent society, right? Think about what you can do today. You can post on Facebook, Instagram, and you can feel YouTube, and you can feel like the whole world is listening to you. I'm going to be honest, nobody's listening to you. Okay, but you feel like they are. And in that independent mindset, you carry that actually into life. And we so don't care about what our actions will produce, but as long as I'm right. That's harmful. That's dangerous. That's going to block fruitfulness. That brings discord. God moves through unity. God anoints unity. So let's bow our heads right now. I want to help you to pray. And just before we pray, you be honest this morning. You say, I recognize areas. I'm a blame shifter. You lift your hand. His heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. You recognize, I am a blame shifter in areas. Yes, yes. There are things in my life. I'm blaming other people. We're going to repent right now. I want you to say these words. Say, dear God in heaven,
I repent
of blame shifting.
I
make a decision
to
take responsibility
for
my wrongs,
for
my actions,
the
things that I am doing
out
of my own pride,
out of
my own will,
out
of my own self-preservation.
I
reject it
and
reveal
to me
areas that I blame shift.
Reveal to me
my heart, and cleanse it, wash it, purge it,
and
bless me. In Jesus' name, I claim victory. Amen. Let's give God praise. Father God, right now, Lord, I pray breakthrough, supernatural healing. Father God, I reject pride right now, Father God, fear and insecurity. Lord, move in lives right now. Unlock fruitfulness as hearts are getting right, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Whoever seeks to save his life will use it, will lose it. But do you not realize that I am the God that judges? I am the final say.
Yes.
And I have the ability to vindicate whom I will vindicate. And as you lay down your life for my sake, you will gain and you will win. Not simply in that circumstance, but you will gain favor with God. You will gain favor with men. I will advance your footsteps. I will put up one and put down another. In that moment, what is your reaction? Judge it right now. As you begin to look for a response in the time and circumstance, what is your goal? Check yourself and plan right now what you will do. Identify these areas that I can come in and vindicate you. If you are your own vindicator, you leave me without hands to move. But as you put these circumstances in my hands, I have the ability to change them and turn them around for the benefit and the furtherance of you and my work that I'm doing in and through your life, says God.
Yes, Lord, let this be at work in us right now. God, identifying and dealing with in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We're going to have a good morning. Believe in God for good things. I appreciate the questions, guys.